Gospel 23 and verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter: justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former, tithing. The Lord's blessings are already added to his word. May it be sanctified to our hearts. Shall we bow our heads? And our Father, we humble ourselves before you, before your word, and ask, Lord, that you would speak through this instrument to your people, so that your name indeed be praised, your Son glorified, your people edified, those, Lord, who need to come to repentance will indeed be brought to that place of surrender. And if there be any among us who know not the Savior, we trust that your Spirit will bring them to a saving knowledge. For we ask these things in the blessed name of our wonderful Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. We are talking about why tithing should not be neglected. Some years ago, there was a bumper sticker that says, "If you love the Lord, honk." And then later on there came out another bumper sticker that says, "If you tithe, honk." Well, I wonder how many people were able to honk their horn on the second bumper sticker. I'm sure that there were many who honked their horn at the fact that they love the Lord. But I wonder how many of those very folks were able to honk their horns because they tithe. For many Christians, tithing is a difficult thing. It is a struggle. And if you will be honest, I remember the days when it was a tough thing for me because I wasn't making much at all. And giving the Lord 10% out of my little pittance seemed almost sinful to part with my little pittance. But I learned over the years that if I trust the Lord, that I would find him to be faithful. And so I have been able over the years to learn what it is to willingly share and give to the Lord what is rightfully his. And I know and believe that there are many who are still struggling with this idea of tithing. There are those who say, well, you know, tithing was part of the Old Testament economy. Tithing was something that was under the law, so that is not relevant to us today. Now, that is a tremendous error. That is a severe mistake. Tithing did not start under the law. And there was no law to tithe. And some of you may know, your eyebrows may raise. Oh, it's in the law. It's in Leviticus. But before you stone me, just hold on. And let me get to the point. All right? Now, in Matthew chapter 23, the Jews, particularly the Pharisees, they prided themselves that they tithe even the smallest herbs of their garden. Mint and dill and cumin, little herbs. They expanded the idea of tithing to even, we call in Jamaica the mint that we go pick for the mint tea. They would pick 9 mints for the tea and they pick 1 for the Lord, 10th. So they prided themselves in the fact that they gave up to the smallest amount. Little weeds or bushes that they picked from their garden. The result was that they got caught up in the idea of giving to the Lord, and they literally ignore their responsibilities to one another. In Mark's Gospel chapter 7, they said they wouldn't even help their parents. Because they say, whatever I would give to my poor parents, to my mom and dad who are in need, I have surrendered it as a gift to the Lord. So I don't have anything to give you. So what happens is that they were very religious, but not spiritual. They were very religious, but not spiritual. For they failed to realize that spirituality is not a vertical line. Not a vertical line. Spirituality is a slope which has a vertical to God and a horizontal to the human. A vertical, it's like a step. You're going up a step. You make one step, and as you get to that step, towards the Lord, you realize that there is a horizontal. That means that you must now show what you have learned on that step to your fellow men. So there is the relational to God and the relational to each other. So the Lord says to them here in Matthew 23:23, he says, you should be tithing. That's not a question. You should be tithing, but you should also be treating or giving or respecting your fellow man. So the idea is, as in our Lord's word, you should be doing what is right by each other. But you should not neglect tithing. And now, and since my assignment is on tithing, the question becomes, why tithing? Why tithing? Why, as our Lord says, why should we not neglect tithing? Our Lord says don't neglect it. So the question to us is, why shouldn't we neglect tithing? And now I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Now, the reason we should not neglect tithing is because tithing is a recognition of God's favor to us. Tithing is a recognition of God's favor to us. The practice of tithing is the recognition that the one to whom we are giving the tenth of our possession is greater than us and is the source of our blessings. Hebrews 7 and 1. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness. Then also King of Salem means King of Peace. Now the background to this is in Genesis 14, 17 through 20. Write it down. Now we won't have time to go there, and when you go home, you read upon that. Genesis 14, 17 through 20. Now, briefly, the background is that while Abram was living in the plains close to Sodom and Gomorrah, and his nephew Lot had moved there, there was a group of kings who got together and attacked Sodom and Gomorrah and the other towns in the plains, and they defeated Sodom and Gomorrah. They took captive the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, many of them, and they carried away their goods. Abram learned, was told, that these kings had came and captured Sodom and Gomorrah and had carried away the people, including his nephew Lot and his family. Abraham hurriedly got an army together, went after them, captured them, overpowered them, defeated them, and he brought back the people and their goods. As Abraham was returning from the conquer or the defeat of these kings, Melchizedek, king of Salem, came out with bread and wine, and he refreshed them. Of course, they must have been exhausted, tired and exhausted, and so he gave them bread and wine, and then, having refreshed them, he blessed them in the name of God Most High, El Elyon. And so Abraham, in return, gave Melchizedek 10%, a tenth, a tithe of all the goods that he brought back from the defeat of the kings. Now, our text picks that up. In Hebrews 7 and verse 4, it says, just think, Hebrews 7 and verse 4, just think how great he, Melchizedek, was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Verse 6. This man, however, did not trace his descendants from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. What the text is saying is that Abram recognized that the one who brought out food and drink to refresh them was none other than the messenger of God. So he acknowledged Melchizedek's superiority as God's messenger. Now Melchizedek being king of Salem and priest at the same time, which is, of course, you read further in the text in Hebrews, and you see that he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, the point is that Abraham recognized that who Melchizedek was, and as a result, willingly gave to him a tenth. As a matter of fact, if you go back into Genesis, and you read that, you will realize that where the king of Sodom had come out and say to Abraham, well, you know, you take the part of this and give us this. And Abraham says, I will not take a nickel from you, lest you say that you have made Abraham rich. Now notice, Abraham wasn't willing to take a dime, a nickel, a thread for himself. But he gave a tenth. He gave a tenth to Melchizedek. An acknowledgement that he was giving the tenth to God, to the Lord, through Melchizedek. That Abraham was giving the tithe, was acknowledging, recognizing that Melchizedek was a representative of God, and that he was tithing through him. Now here's the question. Where did Abraham get the idea of a tenth from? Now remember now, this is hundreds of years before the law, and before Israel came out of Egypt, hundreds of years, when Abraham was, a matter of fact, when this happened, Abraham did not even have Isaac yet. So where did Abraham got the idea of a tithe or tenth from? Now, a fellow named Gordon Wyndham, in his commentary on Numbers, states, says this: tithing, giving a tenth of one's agricultural produce, was an ancient institution in the Near East. So tithing existed long before Israel became a nation, became a people. When God met Jacob running away from his brother Esau and said to Jacob that he would bless him and that Jacob would return to the land from which he was running away, then Jacob, with his head on a stone, alone, by himself, running away, Jacob said to the Lord this: and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Genesis 28:22. So here Jacob is saying, I know about tithing. I know about tithing. My grandfather was a tither. And now Jacob is saying, then will be a tither if the Lord blesses me. If the Lord blesses me, I will be a tither. Now listen carefully. So what is tithing? Tithing is an expression of thankfulness for blessings. You have it? Tithing is an expression of faithfulness or thankfulness for blessings received. The principle is clear, is that tithing is the acknowledging of God's greatness over us and His goodness and mercy towards us. It is a free expression of appreciation for God's blessing, a willing expression of gratitude. So, my friend, tithing should not be something that your arms are twisted to give. It should be a flow of thankfulness or appreciation because God has blessed you. Is that what it is for you? Is that what it is for you? Of all that you will give me, Jacob says, I will return a tenth. Did God tell Jacob to give? Nope. Did God tell Abraham to give Melchizedek a tenth? No. It was an understanding. It was an understanding in the time that tithing was an expression of appreciation and thankfulness to God. So then, my friend, tithing speaks of how thankful you are deep in your heart for all that God means to you. That's troubling, isn't it? If it means that it expresses how I feel about God's blessings, then the question becomes, how willing have I been in my tithing? I take you to number two. Tithing should not be neglected because it is holy to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Let me take you to Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Now I want you to notice something interesting. God is not saying to Israel, I want you to tithe. I want you to give a tenth. Now notice what the Lord says in Leviticus 27:30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. This is not a statement of command, but an expression of ownership. Ownership. Notice what God is saying. It is not thou shalt tithe. It is, I own the tenth. I own the tenth. As a result of the fact that God owns the tenth. Now notice what it says. Look at the text closely. Look closely at what it says in the text. A tithe of everything from the land, whether the grain from the soil, the fruit from the tree, belongs to the Lord. What's the next statement? It is what? Holy. It is holy. You see, Israel knew what tithing is long before this. They knew their great-great-grandfathers tithed. They knew it. They knew what tithing was. What they did not know is that it belonged to the Lord. That's what they didn't know. It belonged to the Lord. As a result of it belonging to the Lord, that makes it what? Holy. That makes it holy. Now what's the idea of holy? What does it mean that it is holy? What does it mean that it is holy? You see, there are two aspects to holiness. There's a negative aspect and there's a positive aspect. There is the aspect of separation from and separation unto. Separation from, separation unto. So then, the farmer goes out and he reaps 10 baskets of fruits. What he's supposed to do is to start the process of holiness. He should take one of those baskets and he should remove it from the remaining 9. And every 10 baskets, he is to remove the 10 and set it aside, away from those of common use. You with me? The 9 left is for what? Common use. The 10 is for what? Holy use. So therefore, the holy must be separated from the common. And then at the appointed time, the separated baskets must be taken to the place of God's designation and separated unto. Literally, given over to the rightful place that God has designed for the tenth to be placed. That's the idea of holiness. Now, of course, one other thing, if you read the rest of these verses, you realize it says that you could sell or redeem if, for example, the place that God designated for the tithe is too far. Because, you know, that was fruits, that was money, those were fruits. And if the place of designation was too far, you could redeem it or sell it. However, because it was holy and because it belongs to the Lord, if you redeem it, you have to add 20% of the value to it to make sure you weren't under devaluing what belongs to God. You see, my friend, here's the point. The tithe is sacred. The tithe is holy. The tithe is the Lord. It is sacred and it is holy. So what does that mean where we are concerned? Here's what it means. When you get your paycheck, you deposit it in the bank, the first thing you should do is to go home and write the Lord's check and put it in the envelope and set it aside. If it is cash, the first thing you do, you get home, you get the Lord's envelope, you put it in the envelope and you set it aside. You must separate it from your common usage, because remember now, it is what? Holy. It is holy unto the Lord. You shouldn't be writing the Lord's check on Sunday morning. And you shouldn't be looking in your wallet to see how much money you have left to put in your envelope for your tithe. That's your offering. That's different. Your offering is different. But for your tithe, if it is going to be holy, the process of separation from and separating unto must be a part of it. That shows reverence. Reverence for what belongs to the Lord. You like that? Or you don't like it because it's messing you up, right? So many Christians sitting in church, 5 minutes before the offering is announced, trying to write a check to put in the envelope. Or trying to find money in your envelope, in your wallet to put in the check. In your tithe envelope. It means you are not treating what belongs to God with reverence and respect. Which brings us to this question. Since we earn money and not goods, farm goods, should we tithe on the gross or the net? Should we tithe on the gross or the net? There are some folks that says, we should tithe on the net because the government takes it out before it gives it to us. All right, I'll give you that. I believe in the gross, but let me give you that. But here's my question to you. Do you tithe on the face value of the check that you have, you get? Or do you tithe on the net after the government takes its tax? For if you're tithing on the face value of the check, you might have already spent half the check in 401k. So you're robbing. You are robbing the Lord. You're stealing. Because remember, it's the Lord. A matter of fact, you see, when you go to a job and you make arrangement and they're going to give you $1,000 a week, that's your earnings, $1,000 a week. It doesn't matter who takes what out of it. That's what you agreed on. But if you want to say, well, the government takes it before it gives it to us, so I'm going to do it on the net, fine. But make sure you are not tithing on the face value of the check. Because you might have been taking out, you know, there's some people who take home less than 50% of their check, their pay. Because they have all these things being deducted from their check. Remember, my brothers and my sisters, the tithe is what? Holy unto the Lord. So your attitude towards tithing is more important than the money you give. Your attitude towards tithing. You must treat it with respect and reverence. Separation unto is what holiness is all about. Oh, by the way, that's what it means for our personal life as well. Do you know that? That's what it means for our personal life. If we are not separated from sinfulness, if you were watching all kind of a garbage last night, you come here this morning, doesn't matter how you sing and wind up your neck and carry on, you're not worshiping. Because you haven't been separated from. That's what holiness is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get another one? I know I'm a troublemaker, but that's all right. All right? Number three, tithing should not be neglected because it is the primary means of supporting God's work. Turn with me to Numbers 18:21. You see, the Lord, in calling people to the work of the ministry, calling folks to serve Him full time, to give themselves completely to His work, as He did the Levites, the tribe of Levites, has made preparation for their sustenance. That's how God has designated. That's why He said, the tithe is mine. It is holy. Because He wants to use that to maintain the holy position of His people. Did you get that? He wants to use the holy tithe to maintain the holy position of His people. Numbers 18:21. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of the meeting. Let's skip down to verse 24. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. So then God did not give the Levites inheritance in the land, but He has given them the tenth of all the other tribes. That would be for their support and sustenance. You see, the work of the Levites was so sacred that any defilement could mean their death. They could not go out and till the soil and plant things, because if they touched any dead body, a dead animal, they would be defiled. And so their lot had to be so sacred. But God had provided for them so that they would not have to go out and earn their own living. He made sure that their needs were provided for. And in Malachi 3:10, God says to the people, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Food for who? Food for the Levites? Food for the poor? Food for the needy? There will be enough to carry on my work and to support those who are in need. Now, when Paul says regarding the elders of our church, 1 Timothy 5:17 through 18, he says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. And the worker deserves his wage. Now he's talking about elders. He's talking about pastors. Now, the only way that there would have been money to support the elders is if the church tithe. There was no other means. No new means are given in the New Testament for the support of the work of the ministry. It is the same means, God's money, that we often have in our pockets. That is designed to take care of the ministry, the pastor. Now, when it says here that the elder who served well is worthy of double honor, a honor here is remuneration for service rendered. Literally, the pastor, the elder, who serve in the word, who administrate and serve in the word, must be taken care of well. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. The elder who is faithful in the word and in the administration of the church. You know that your pastor is called a ruling elder. That's what the Bible calls him, a ruling elder. Because he is the one who is the pastor of among the elders. You have a board of elders, but Pastor Vaughn is the ruling elder. And he's the ruling elder who is primary in the word. Therefore, he should be getting a nice little check from the church. Say amen. Amen. I didn't hear that. Amen. But in order for him to get that check, you can't be robbing the Lord. What did I just say? For him to get that check, you can't be robbing the Lord. There should be enough people tithing, giving the Lord what belongs to the Lord, so that the church could take care of the pastor well, so his wife don't have to nag him for not supporting her well. I know a pastor. I know the pastor who hardly has money. And his wife every once in a while remind him that if she wasn't working, she wouldn't be wasting his time in the church. I'm not talking about Sister Vaughn. So we must be faithful, so that the elder in the church might be taken care of very well. Not only is the elder, the ruling elders, but there is the matter of missions. Reaching out to support missionaries and those who are carrying the gospel far and wide, who needs the support of the church. The tithe is required also to take care of the daily running of the church. The everyday paying for the light, taking care of the cleanliness of the building, supporting whatever needs and responsibility must be carried out. There, to run a building like this requires a great deal. And very often what happens, the pastor is sacrificed in order to take care of the building, because there is not enough. Whenever there is additional needs, if this building needs repair, that should not come from tithe. If the building needs repair, the roof needs repair, it should not come from tithe. If you have to do work around the church, it should not come from the tithe. It should be special offerings. As a matter of fact, go back in the Old Testament, and you will see in Chronicles, in Kings and Chronicles, even though the people were bringing their tithes into the storehouse, whenever the building needed repair, they set a basket in front of the church, and every week the people would come and bring additional and place in that basket to repair the building, which means sacrifice. Sacrifice, more sacrifice on the part of the people who love the Lord in order to make sure that the building is taken care of. The repair, when we have to use the repair to replace an air condition or to fix the building, there is not enough to take care of the needs of the pastor and his family. A good example, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, on the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. That has nothing to do with tithe. Has absolutely nothing to do with tithe. It has to do with the gifts to the Jerusalem church, who was in need. And Paul said, ask the church, every member of the church, to set aside every week a portion of money to help the needy church in Jerusalem. They want to touch the tithe. They want to use the tithe. I got a call some time ago. One of the elders called me from a church and he says, somebody went into the tithe and decided to support some kids to go to a park. And he said, is that right? And I said, did the church as a body vote on it? He said, no. I said, well, it's wrong. It's wrong. I said, that's not the purpose of the tithe. You want to send the church kids on a picnic? Take an offering for a picnic. Not the Lord's tithe. Not the Lord's tithe. Here's something. You have a friend who is a missionary going on the mission field from another church. You'd like to help them. Can I use a part of my time to support that missionary? And the answer is no, it is not yours to give. It is not yours to give. It belongs to the Lord. It must come into the storehouse. You can ask the church to put the person on the missions list. But you have no business divvying up what's not yours. Can you say amen to that one? Amen again. Remember, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto Him. It must be given, brought to the place that God has designated. That's why you ought to take it out. Take it out from the common usage. Set it apart. Because it is holy unto the Lord. Fourth and last, I'm going to ask you to turn to Malachi. Some say Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Tithing should not be neglected because to do so is robbing God. To do so is robbing God. About 100 years after the Israelite had returned from Babylon under the leadership of the priest and the governor that came out of Babylon, and they had a revival. Things were going well, but now it's about 100 years now, and the people had gone away from the Lord. They backslid. And what was the sign of their backsliding? What was one of the evidence or signs of their backsliding? Their failure to tithe. Did you get that? One of the signs, evidence of their backsliding. Go with me to Malachi 3 and 8. God asked the question, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? The people responded, how have we robbed you? And God told them, you have done so in tithes and offerings. You see what God says? You have robbed me in tithes and offering. Why is it that God said they robbed him? And the answer is clear. God had told them it was his. That's simple, isn't it? God told them as a nation, as a people, in Leviticus, says the tithe is whose? Mine. Mine. It is holy. Now they are not giving it to the Lord. So God says to them, you are robbers. You are stealing from me with my eyes wide open. I'm watching you literally pick my pocket. That's what God said. I am watching you literally pick my pocket. And not giving me what is rightfully mine. Now let's read a little bit more, because I'm closing. So if I take another half an hour, you shouldn't be rushing any place anyway. Look at verse 9. You are under a what? A curse. The whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. And then God says, verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. Verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now, am I going to get a raise if I tithe? Not necessary. Am I going to get a promotion if I tithe? Not necessary. Could be. But here's what's going to happen. The old car won't break down that often. Did you get that? The refrigerator will last another year. Five more years. That's right. He will rebuke the devourer. You know what the devourer is? Anything that caused you to spend more money than you normally would have spent, that we would call misfortune. Here's the situation. We know when things are not going right. When we have to, every turn we find that we have to spend money. And we say, Lord, what's going on? I can't catch a break. Well, maybe you can't catch a break because yesterday your tithe was $50, you gave $45. But If you wake up this morning and the car was not flat, you didn't notice that it was a blessing, did you? Because the devourer was rebuked. If the refrigerator lasts for 5 more years, did you consider that a blessing? You didn't think of it. You didn't think of it. Because you see, the problem is that the blessings of the Lord are not often recognized. The songwriter says, count your blessings, name them one by one. I don't know who can count them, because they are new every morning. They are new every morning. So that often we can go on and things can go well for a long time. And we don't stop to say, Lord, I thank you for your blessing. The end of the day, no tragedy or problems, serious problems. Did you stop to say, Lord, I thank you for a good day, your blessings? For he has rebuked the devourer today, so that he did not spoil my garden. It did not chew on the leaves of my plants, and it didn't wilt my fruits. Today was a day of great blessings. You see, we often do not recognize the blessings of God to us, because the blessings of God to us prevent the disaster, prevent the devourer, and we enjoy it without even realizing that there not shall be showers of blessings, but that there is showers of blessings. There is showers of blessings. So I close, my friend. The reason we should not neglect God's tithe is because it is an acknowledgement of God's provision and blessing to us. Second, it is because it belongs to God and is holy to him. Third, because it is his means of supporting and providing for his work and his ministry. And fourth, to rob the Lord, to not give your tithe, is to rob God of what is rightfully his. Let me say to you, my friend, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive the Lord. And when you think you need the tithe and is holding on to it, you don't realize that you are creating a bigger bill for yourself. Because the devourer will be released to take not only the tenth, but a lot more. Because God don't look well on people stealing from him. But if you're here this morning and you are not a believer, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the great blessing and blesser from God, has provided a full and free salvation, has made a great provision. The greatest of all provision is that he provides salvation for our souls. we ought to recognize that God has made provision, that God himself, the Bible tells us that God was reconciling the world unto himself in Christ Jesus. God himself, the Holy God, has come to you through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great provider. He is the great provision for your sin-sick soul. I want you to know, my friend, to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply robbing God, but you are robbing yourself of eternal life. You are damning yourself for eternity. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with your eyes closed, heads bowed. I wonder today if there is one person here who would, in the quietness